Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
Is Tuesday, April 12th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. First of all, I just want to shout out you guys, Menace Nation. We appreciate you. I mean, our live stream numbers on YouTube are going through the roof. So if you could, as Pat McAfee says, we steal it from him. Be a friend, tell a friend about this show. If you could also subscribe down below, like this video right now if you're watching. And if you're watching after the live show, we're still sharing Dwayne Haskins' stories in the comments. I'm not going to be like other shows and just continually talk about Dwayne for clicks is essentially why people do it. But I do enjoy, like yesterday, I read every comment that was on the YouTube episode because I posted on there, like, share Dwayne Haskins' story. And, you know, most of you guys are fans. And so it was had to do with football or several of you have met Dwayne, and it was, I mean, it was the same story every time. Like, he was unbelievable. He took time to meet my son or whatever. And like, my son's baseball coach told a story about his son met Dwayne at the Cotton Bowl, I think. And just what an awesome kid he was. He took time to talk to him, and it was really, really good. So just enjoy. I honestly, selfishly put a comment down there about something about Dwayne so I can read it, because I enjoyed that a lot yesterday, and I appreciate you guys doing that. So I wanted to start with that. Also, finally, Zone 6 has taken off a little bit. Got some people subscribing to it. The feedback's been unbelievable. So if you are an athlete, if you know an athlete, if you are a skilled coach, football coach, you name it, the Zone 6 is a tool for you. It's basically my knowledge. And over the next, you know, weeks, months, whatever, it's going to grow exponentially with the amount of content that's on there. It's already worth the money. But it's you get a 7-day free trial if you sign up right now, and that will end eventually. I'm not sure when yet, but go to zone6.com and check it out. And then we're still talking about it. If any of you guys are going to be in Vegas, if you're going to be in Vegas, shoot us a message and let us know, because if there's going to be enough Menace Nation in Vegas for the draft, or if you're looking to go to Vegas and you will go, if we go, we're looking at going to Vegas. Because we got an advertising contract. It was on yesterday's show. It's with Sapphire Gentlemen's Club, and they're looking to do a live show. They really want us to do a live show at their Gentlemen's Club. So it'll be titties and Chris is what we'll call it. but it's pretty sweet. $75 to get in. You get a buffet, 1 hour open bar. It's a big time atmosphere. If you go to sapphirelasvegas.com and check it out, it looks sweet. I mean, it looks like a sports bar on steroids with naked chicks. Like, what better is there in the world?
That
plus,
T.O.'s
going to be there after the first round for an after party in the strip club. It's going to be nuts. They got drink specials going on all night. You can book your package now if you go to Las Vegas or sapphirelasvegas.com or call or text 702-869-0003. And so I put it on the screen yesterday. If you just pause the video and rewind it, if you need that number again, but it's going to be wild. And I'm serious. I'm looking at flights. I'm trying to find flights that my company can afford, and trying to get us out there. So we'll see what happens. I hopefully in the next week or two, we'll be able to tell you for sure if we're going, but honestly, shoot me an email, Zach@Menace2Sports. If you would go, because we'll go see some titties and talk football. I'm here for it.
two of God's gifts.
Two of God's greatest gifts. My favorite gifts, actually, that he's given this world outside of family. Yep, really, really a big fan of titties.
Well, that's how we get to family. Like, we get to football, then we get to titties, then we get to family.
Right. I have four kids. Trust me, Chris. Mm-hmm. I know how they intertwine very, yeah, very, very well.
I don't know nothing about that. I'm chilling.
but I want to talk. excuse me.
Geez, Zach.
Man. coffee didn't hit right.
Yeah, wear a mask.
Man. I want to talk today about freshmen. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about young players, kind of the experience of a young kid coming into a college football program, because it really is a unique experience. Yeah. It is something different, because college football is so intense. and the commitment is so high. No matter where you went to high school, no matter how good your high school program was, it is a shell-shocked moment for any 18-year-old when they walk in the door and it's demanded the time commitment, the effort, the exertion. It's just a whole different level. And these kids go through a rapid maturation process. They really do. They grow up. They have to grow up really fast, because if they don't, they just get absolutely dominated in life, not just on the field, but in life. And so a lot of stuff going on at Ohio State, but that freshman experience is just something different.
Yeah, so what kind of led us to go this way? First of all, Caden Curry lost his black stripe. I heard he's been a wrecking ball, playing inside and outside, a defensive tackle that's athletic enough to play defensive end. He's the second freshman to lose his black stripe. Obviously, the Kai kid, the safety, lost his first, which surprised some people because of his low recruiting ranking. But it leads me to the question, Zach. Like, what is that first experience like when freshmen early enroll and come in and go through winter workouts and then are there for the spring? Can you tell pretty quickly who's going to be made or, you know, who's got it and who doesn't have it? I mean, I know you talked about Dwayne Haskins and like how he looked at you and like just lasers through your soul, square jawed, ready to work. Do you get that with freshmen kind of behind the scenes, or is it more like wide eyed, like, oh my God, I just got hit by a bus? Like, let's rock.
Well, you know, coming in early is such a benefit. That's the starting point, right? Because it is, I don't want to say it's more lackadaisical, but it is a much slower transition because you're not preparing for a season yet, right? Mm-hmm. You're going through a different phase of the cycle. Like winter workouts are really hard. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're harder than summer workouts because you're not worried about getting in football shape. You're not worried about being ready to go, you know, beat Notre Dame. Like, you don't have to worry about that yet. So they just kick your ass in the weight room. They really do. And you could tell right away what kid is mature enough and responds to those workouts in a way that you say, oh, this kid has it already, right? Now, most players are absolutely awful when they first come in and go through those workouts. So it's not an indication that they won't be a good player. It's not an indication that they won't figure it out. It's just they have to grow up to get through that stuff and really, you know, become a grown-ass man is what it is. And so you can tell right away the young kids, not only young kids, really any kid that hasn't figured it out yet, when they start to. And Mickey Marotti's the best in the country at developing that, identifying that, and really he's unbelievable at feeling the pulse of a team, a group, a kid. He's really, really good at it. And so you see it right away. Those freshmen come in and let's say there's 10, right? Probably two of the 10, you're going to be like, whoa, like this kid's pretty mature. Like he's responding like a grown ass man. And that'll tell you as a coach, like this kid might have a chance to help us this year, right? Those other eight, it's going to be a while, right? It might be a year, might be 2 years, but two of the 10, 20%, let's say you look at them, you're like, wow, this kid is built for this already. Like he's responding really well. And the black stripe is a great indication of that, especially in the spring. I mean, we never really did that in the spring. We always forced it until the fall. Like we didn't put black stripes on their helmet in the spring because we waited for the whole class to get here. But either way, that's not just something for Twitter. I mean, that's a real thing. Like that means Caden Curry is not only a grown-ass man, but he's responding and thriving in the structure that is college football and the Ohio State Buckeyes in Ryan Day's program. He's thriving and he's making plays. He's flashing, and they use it as a tool to kind of reward these freshmen, right? Like, hey, you got it. Like you're doing it the way we want you to do it. Keep it going. Like that's why they do it, right? It's an indoctrination.
It'll motivate the other kids too.
Like, oh yeah. Like
if you're a higher rated kid and you see that kid lose his black stripe, that has to get to you at some point.
What's the first thing, right? Before playing or anything else is losing your black stripe. And you told me a story before the show about CJ Hicks, where you could tell these kids want to lose the black stripe, right?
Because
it's a public display that they're doing well and that they are good, right? It's an affirmation. And so they all want it. They desire it. And So it's great motivation because they want to figure it out so they can lose their black stripe. And you could tell the story with CJ Hicks because it's hilarious to me because I know it's not hilarious to fans because they probably believe it. But
when I heard it, it was interesting. It was, you know, he was out somewhere and someone that I know spoke to him real briefly and he said that he was going to lose his black stripe next. So that's this week. CJ Hicks believes he's going to lose it. And it's like, okay, then go lose it.
Right. Which could be two things, right? The kid's doing really well and he wants to lose it so bad. And CJ Barnett's telling him like, you're next, just keep going. Or it's a kid that just wants people to think he's good and he's actually not there yet. And he it's kind of like,
he wants to be there.
Like I'm going to start, but the coach said the next year I'm going to be the guy. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you're just creating a narrative because you have been good your whole life and now you're not the best player on the team and you don't know how to act or what to say. Like, you're just kind of like, no, I'm gonna lose my black stripe next. Yeah, for real. Like
she told me she would let me hit if I didn't have a girlfriend right now.
Right. It's like, okay, sounds good. Maybe like me saying like, oh no, like I talked to Joe Rogan and Pat McAfee and like this show's next. Like we're gonna get $100 million next. Like for real. Like we're up next.
Yes.
Be like the wrong people would go and be like, damn, you hear about Zach? He's about to sign a $100 million contract. Smart people would be like, this motherfucker is capping.
Next thing you know, you're on a nugget.
Right. Like maybe, but there's no way to know that. But anyways, you can tell what kids are more likely to play, right? And you even mentioned it in the show notes here. Like, it's gonna be tough for Caden Curry to get on the field because the defensive end position is pretty loaded and the D-line position is pretty loaded. But Larry Johnson will rotate guys. We saw it last year with JTT and Jack Sawyer. They played some. We saw it with Tylenol Williams in every game except the Michigan game, bizarrely. Young kids will play if they're ready. So it'll be cool to watch. And I'm telling you, if they get another D-end that's ready, it'll be a hell of a D-line.
It's funny you mentioned that they'll play young kids when they're ready. Well, I thought Tylenol was ready last year. Don't know what was happening behind the scenes, and he didn't play a ton, but he did get in there. And when he did, he really flashed. Caden Curry losing his black stripe is interesting. I know he can play inside and outside. He's a uniquely talented guy. They've praised his ability to get skinny and also be really violent with the hands. And I know that's something Larry Johnson really loves. But it's going to be really tough for him to play this year because by my count, they're about eight deep on the defensive line.
It's like anything else, though. It's if you recruit at this level, that Ohio State recruits, Georgia, Texas A&M, Christ, Alabama. If you recruit at that level, even if you've done it consistently, like Alabama does, like Ohio State does, where every year you're a top three class, it's tough to break through because there's so much talent on the roster. But out of 25 kids, two of them are going to be difference makers, right? Mm-hmm. If you recruit at that level, and it's not always the five-star all everything, right? Sometimes it's a four-star that was a little underrated or that was a little more mature and just
like Caden Curry. Caden Curry is one of the four-star kids.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think he's an Indiana kid. So maybe he didn't have the hype of a kid from South Florida or whatever. There's all different reasons, but you're going to have two minimally two that when they come in at freshman class, you go, whoa, this kid is
a gamer.
Mm-hmm. Like, this is what you look for right here. Doesn't mean he's going to play a ton. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it about every freshman every year because every Buckeye fan thinks that the number one receiver in the country is going to come in and be fucking Julio Jones day one, or the number one D tackle in the country is going to be Aaron Donald. Like, it's like, all right, slow down. Rarely, I mean, extremely rare that a freshman has any impact, even if they
play Ohio State, right?
You look at Chase Young, Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, fucking anybody, Ezekiel Elliott, like all the high draft picks that Ohio State has had. Their freshman year, they played maybe a little bit, maybe. And they weren't, Ezekiel Elliott was not Ezekiel Elliott yet. And he was the best back Ohio State's seen in decades, but he just wasn't quite there yet, right? Because they're high school kids that have to develop. And so for a freshman to come in and play, if they just play some, that shows you and tells you that the staff thinks in a year or two, they're going to be fucking dudes. Mm-hmm. But there's just an unrealistic expectation of fans that a freshman is going to be like all Big Ten or like an impact player. When I honestly can't remember a time where a freshman came in and was fucking like that. I mean, Percy Harvin was one. That he's a generational dude. I've mentioned it before. Marquise Pouncey at Ohio State was one. I mean, even at Ohio State, like Michael Jordan started as a freshman, but that was out of need. He wasn't a bad player, but he should not have been starting yet. So there were times where freshmen came in and started, but there's not many times where they should.
At Ohio State, it should never happen.
Well, it should never happen.
Expecting more than two to be contributors is something that should never happen. And if it does happen, it means that something went drastically wrong the year before or the 2 years before in either recruiting or developing. At Ohio State, the goal is always to win the Big Ten and then to win a national title. And like with that kind of thing, having freshmen out there doesn't help your chances.
Like it simply doesn't. You look at national champions in years past, right? Like how many freshmen, like Georgia had Brock Bowers. Okay. Yep. He's a generational tight end, like absolute freak show. And to be honest, they had a loaded tight end room. So that just tells you how good he was. But that is the needle in the haystack. Yeah. I mean, that's not common. Shouldn't ever happen unless it's just like, whoa, this is a Hall of Famer.
Are you a car guy, Zach? Do you like cars? So I don't know if you ever got like the Motor Trend magazines, but there was always like a page for like these crazy ass concept cars. Coming out in 2 years, like it's going to have this. It's going to be faster than this Lamborghini. This is the next Countach. This is the next that. Right. And then you see that car hit the line like 2 years later and you see it on the road like 4 years later. And it's like, damn, that car's not everything I thought it was going to be. But every once in a while you get a car, it's like, holy shit, like that Tesla's badass. But like freshmen are like concept cars. Like for 2 or 3 years, we're seeing these guys in basically these internet magazines comparing them to this and that and this and that. And then when they hit the production line, it's like, okay, no, that car's not as fast as I thought it was going to be.
No doubt.
And then when you get one like Brock Bowers, that's when you get your generational, whoa, that's a freak, hot off the press. And it happens very, very, very rarely.
But you can literally, I mean, in the last 20, 30 years of college football, you can count on two hands probably the number of times an actual true freshman, an 18-year-old kid, was an impact big-time player. And I see it in the chat, like Herschel Walker, Adrian Peterson, Maurice Claret would be one. I mean, you might be able to say Travion Henderson, but he wasn't. He's flashed a little bit, but he wasn't a dominant player as a freshman. I mean, it's so rare.
I think the greatest true freshman of all time, without a doubt, to me at least, is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, for sure. Because and Trevor Lawrence is generational. Exactly. Like he was a generational talent.
And he got worse. He got worse.
He got worse over his college career. Think about that. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's so rare, just so rare. So we'll call this a show of perspective.
Right.
You see, you read reports, loses their black stripe, like CJ Hicks can't be blocked by Travion Henderson. It's like, CJ Hicks has got a chance because of his position. Michael Jordan started early. Denzel Burke's a great example I see in the chat. Denzel Burke, true freshman, balling. Now, he still wasn't a lockdown corner at all. I mean, he got torched in the Michigan game. There was times where he looked like a freshman. And again, I would contest that he was playing due to need, like Michael Jordan did in whatever year he was a freshman. There's a difference between you're just that fucking guy. Mm-hmm. You're that dude. Like Adrian Peterson. I don't give a shit who was in that running back room. Adrian Peterson was going to start as a freshman. Denzel Burke, not the case. He might have been your third corner, fourth corner, but he was a starter because they didn't really have anyone else.
Well, exactly. Denzel Burke got out there. Like when I say something went wrong, the year before the cornerback play was so bad, the defense was so bad, and we didn't have any depth because of the recruiting failures that had happened those 3 years. That is why Denzel Burke played. Burke probably wasn't better than Okuda's freshman year. But obviously Okuda had the luxury of being able to sit behind a guy like Ward. And then when he got out there for the Rose Bowl, played really, really well. But because things were not going drastically wrong before that, we didn't get to see Okuda as a freshman. I think Denzel Burke's going to be a first-round corner. I think he's fantastic. But yes, there were plenty of times where he looked like a freshman. And one of the big things you talked about and I talked about was he can't really tackle. Like, he cannot tackle. And being able to cover is one thing. But in the game, when everyone is as big as you or bigger, as fast as you or faster, and they don't want to be tackled and they think they're stars as well, that's where we see him got beat a couple times, especially against Michigan.
For sure. For sure. And you just look at the history of Ohio State football, and it's really, I mean, there's true freshmen playing are just so rare. And I think, you know, since 1990, there's been two that really were impactful. And that's Andy Katzenmoyer and Maurice Claret. Those are two where you're like, whoa. Like,
I'd argue that Braxton Miller was super impactful. It's true.
But Braxton Miller had no business starting. He shouldn't have been a starting quarterback yet. And he even says that because he came to Ohio State with the intention of not playing that first year and taking over year two after Terrell Pryor left. Now, Terrell Pryor did the tattoo deal and was out of there, and he got him out of there. And so Braxton had to be the guy, and pure athleticism just led to some success, but he wasn't playing the position. Like, he didn't understand the offense,
and he was splitting time, obviously, as well.
And he was a young kid. Well, for a minute he was. Who was it with? Fucking God, someone terrible. Joe Bowserman or something.
Yeah, some shit like that.
We should do a show about that. The worst quarterbacks in the history of Ohio State. Because there was, in the Tressel era, there was like three or four. You're like, Christ, how did that kid get to Ohio State?
It's like, who?
Right? Who's like that? Todd Beckman, Joe Bowserman. Like, oh, God, how did you win a game with those guys?
They sound like Mario villains. They need to be not Ohio State quarterbacks. I did want to ask you, what is the easiest position for a freshman to contribute at, like a true freshman? One on defense.
Definitely offensive skill. Probably receiver is probably the easiest because you can find a role or find a way to get them in, and they don't need to understand everything in the world yet, right? Like quarterback's fucking almost impossible. Offensive line's really hard because of the physical demands, and you know, most of them, their bodies just aren't ready for major college football. And on defense, they could be anywhere. I mean, safety, corner's probably the easiest just because there's not a lot to know, right?
Responsibility-wise. I mean,
yeah, you either cover this guy or you drop in this area. Right. And it's way more complicated than that, but it's just not a whole lot to get a kid on the field.
It's easier than safety, most definitely. It's got to be easier than safety.
Oh, way easier than safety. But yeah, I mean, if you're a freshman corner and you're a dude, I mean, you can always be a slot corner, a nickel corner. On third down, you go in and you only have to worry about, you know, X amount of things. So corner and receiver probably is the easiest.
Hardest, probably linebacker, you think, on defense?
Just physically, the hardest is probably interior defensive line, like a D tackle, like what Tylenol Williams did. But
he's just a freak, man. I
mean, just like a freak, but like he's an absolute reason why that freaky kid didn't play every snap. I mean, and though I can be critical and say he should have played more, especially in Michigan game and some other games, but there's a reason why he wasn't a starter. It's not because he wasn't good enough yet. I mean, he just was young. He doesn't have it figured out yet. Yeah. You think Larry's going to leave that freak show on the bench if there's not a reason? Right. Like, of course not.
I think he's a freak show. Exactly. Like, I'm talking like top 10 pick here in 2 years.
Oh,
like,
he could be
a freak show.
You Jordan seen him Davis. Run. I mean, he could be one of those kids that everyone's talking about nationally.
Have you seen him run routes before, Zach?
No.
Big man be moving, man.
Oh, I bet. That's the difference between the top tier D tackles and offensive linemen. Like, you watch some starters in the NFL, offensive linemen, like when they pull, you're like, holy shit. Like, he's literally running with
the running back.
With fucking Kareem Hunt. Like, he's pulling and keeping pace with the starting running back. It's just fucking wild.
I love when the C's part and they catch a little corner out there, man. Like when whatever happens when the C's part, you get a pulling guard running straight for a defensive back. Like, you just know it's bad news. That's what those guys live for. And I can't believe Todd Beckman played in Natty, man. That shit's crazy.
People are coming to his defense. Let me tell you something. My grandfather told me that he was the worst quarterback that ever played at Ohio State. That was before Joe Bowserman, but that's great. He was impressive in high school, and Jim Tressel's offense didn't need a dominant quarterback. It was like Alabama before they brought in Lane Kiffin and you know, transitioned to a spread.
Yeah, Coker was the starting quarterback at Bama.
Right, like you didn't have to be a good quarterback in Tressel's offense. I mean, it was a pro-eye power offense. Like, you just had to turn around, hand the ball off, play action, and try not to fuck it up.
Let me ask Beckner you this.
Was not a good player. I'm sorry.
Game on the line. You have to drive 40 yards to win the game. I'll give you. You get one of two quarterbacks: Stephen Collier or Todd Beckman. Who are you picking?
Oh, Stephen Collier. For sure.
Yes. Clip it.
For sure.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, Zach. So there's a commitment coming today.
Oh, yeah. The running back. Was it Mark Fletcher from American Heritage?
Yeah, yeah. The Fletcher kid from, you know, yep. From American Heritage, one of the top running backs in the country. The class has kind of been off to a slow start. He's committing to, I believe he's between Miami and Ohio State. don't want to go too much about that. But I do want to say, moving forward, I wanted to ask you, for fans at least, it's kind of perceived that you need a quarterback in the class to kind of be the leader, especially for the skill position guys. Yeah. Is that more important to get a guy like Ennis, or is a guy like Mark Fletcher committing?
I mean, it's
being from the same school more of a fact.
I mean, it helps, but it's all about your boys, right? The people that they respect. And so, you know, knowing that there's Devin Brown, knowing that there's Kyle McCord, knowing that there is a five-star all everything quarterback on campus already, like, there's no concern, right, with not playing with a great player. It definitely helps if there's a quarterback committed. And usually you try to get a quarterback in every class. It'd probably be a tough sell right now in this class because they've kind of stockpiled that position. But at the same time, I mean, one of those kids is going to transfer. Like, CJ's going to leave after this year. So you're probably going to have one quarterback going into the 2023 season. So they need to sign a quarterback in this class, or they're going to have to go to the portal for some competition. But ultimately, like, it's when Mark Fletcher commits, that's going to do work wonders in South Florida and within American Heritage with Brandon Ennis, with any other kid that Mark Fletcher knows really well, especially if they respect him and think he's a great player, because when he commits, they're gonna be like, damn. And then Ohio State goes out on the field this year and is successful. They're like, damn, like, this might be the move. And they're more inclined to jump in because someone else already has, right? It's like when you go to the ocean and it's like the water's freezing and you're like, I don't know, man, it's cold. I don't know. And then that one person jumps in, you're like, yeah, fuck it. They are. Let's do it. And you jump in with them, right? It's the same thing. Once you get someone within your inner circle to jump in somewhere and then they start trying to sell you on why they did it, that other kid, that friend, and it could be Brandon, it could be another kid from the South Florida Express. I mean, it could be anybody that's looking at it like, damn, my guy's going there. Like, I'm going to take a harder look at this school. So it definitely helps. It's huge. And so this kid committing will be huge recruiting South Florida, recruiting that high school this year and next year, because see it too. Damn, this is the number one running back in South Florida. He just went to Ohio State. Like, maybe I should consider Ohio State. It's how it works.
And also the other kid, the Richard Young kid, who's a freak of nature, incredibly talented. I think that, you know, I think we could sell both of them on a two-back system.
Tony's taking two running backs in this class.
Two elite running backs is what what you want.
Absolutely wanted. You can. Look at Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson. Like, you could play two. I mean, look at Nick Chubb, Todd Gurley. Like, all the – Georgia was loaded at running back for a while there. And even this year, you look at Georgia's how they employed three running backs. I mean, they really set the standard for having a loaded backfield. Georgia has, and I don't think nowadays there's any issue with coming in with another great player at running back. It used to be there's one, right? Nowadays, I mean, you're rotating guys, third down, situational. Like, if you're a great player, you're gonna play. Tony's going to take two running backs, and he's not going for some bum.
No, we took one last year. We couldn't get kind of the two that we wanted, but we took one last year. And I think the two that we're going to get this year are going to be the guys that are kind of the next up, kind of as the torch gets passed from Draven Henderson, who we will only get for 3 years, to the other guys. But Zach, I don't have anything else for today unless you have something else you wanted to hit. I did see Georgia as a more roster turnover. They lost 2 5-star offensive linemen to the transfer portal. That makes they're losing talent at an extreme rate. Right,
well, now. And this is why you have to have availability on your roster. Like, Ohio State is over budget right now on scholarships, but there's no way a big time offensive lineman enters that portal. I don't care how good you are at offensive line, you have to entertain that. It's like Urban always said, you never, ever, 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 ever turn down one, a great player, or two, a big time offensive lineman or D tackle. You just can't, because you look at schools, even at Ohio State right now, how many elite offensive linemen do they have? I mean, they probably have 15 on scholarship. I would venture to say they have 7.
I'd take both of them right now. I'd take both those 5-star kids right now.
They absolutely would. Mm-hmm. They absolutely would take both of those kids because you never, ever, ever turn down a talented offensive lineman. You just don't. You find a way to bring that kid on campus.
Especially so the minute, under stud, we missed out on so many five-star battles. Oh. We lost so many battles. Like, if you're Justin Fry and you can bridge the gap for the next 2 years as you get your guys in and ready, you go. You go take two of them.
And they will entertain it. I don't know anything about those two kids. They may have zero interest in Ohio State. They may be transferring because they want to go to a specific spot. But I promise you, the minute that news hit the wire, Mark Pantoni and Justin Fry were on the phone. On the phone finding out, hey, what's up? What's up? Hey, sending a you up text, right? Like, hey, girl, you up? Like, what's up? What's the move here? What are we talking about? Like,
damn, you single now?
Right, like, oh, shit, you're on the market?
Yeah, hey, that's why you deleted all those. You deleted all those Georgia pictures. What's the deal?
And that's really what it is. You're going to find out. You're going to survey the landscape and absolutely see if they're interested. And if they are, then you're going to go after them because you don't turn down elite talent at offensive line. You cannot ever. A receiver or a corner like Elias Ricks, like, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. Right? Well, like J.E. Hall. I mean, he's a super elite, talented, you know, receiver from Bama. We won't be calling him because
Not even that he couldn't play at Ohio State. It's like, no, we're good. We got it. But you just can't do that at offensive line. You have to go at least see and then decide if it's a good move.
Definitely heard. Zach, I don't have anything else for the day unless you have something else you want
to hit. No, that's all I got. I appreciate everybody. Like I said, go ahead and subscribe to the channel if you haven't yet. I think I saw on YouTube 35% of people that view our live stream are not subscribers. Hit subscribe. Subscribe so nothing else, you can see if you like the video. I guess if you didn't like the show, then fuck it. Don't subscribe. But subscribe, like the video, and comment down below whatever, your favorite Dwayne Haskins moment or story. Like I said, because it's therapeutic for me to just read them. It has nothing to do with, I don't give a shit if you email them to me. It's not about the YouTube video. It's more about just me getting to read them. So drop that down below. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m., Monday through Friday. Menace out.